You all know how obsessed I am with Quince, okay? Their clothes are timeless, they feel luxurious, they look elevated, and the quality is way beyond what you'd expect for the price. I've said this numerous times before, but I'm telling you all, I used to be a wardrobe stylist, and I wish Quince was around when I was one, because Quince would be the ultimate spot that I would be getting clothing for my clients and recommending to my clients, okay? It's so chic and timeless, and the quality and the variety. And again, the price, it's just simply the best. I love Quince.
Yeah, Quince really is incredible. We're talking 100% European linen tops starting at $30, washable silk dresses and skirts, and soft cotton sweaters, versatile warm weather pieces you'll reach for again and again. And the best part, everything from Quince is half the cost of similar brands. Yes, I said half. By working directly with the top artisans and cutting the middleman out, Quince gives you luxury without the markup. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes.
I just adore Quince. I've gotten some stunning pieces for the summer. I've definitely been obsessed with Quince's 100% European linen pieces. And for summer, they are everything. They're so comfortable and they're lightweight and they're breezy. I have numerous pairs of their European linen pants and their high-waisted shorts. The cut on both is incredible. It's everything. They look good with everything. And I feel like a dream in their 100% European linen strapless maxi dress. I have it in blue pinstripe. It gives summer by the Atlantic dreamy vibes. Paired that with some 14 karat gold bold hoops from Quince, an Italian hand-woven mini shoulder bag in cognac, and an Italian soft loafer, all from Quince, this outfit is perfection. It's dreamy. It is summer, okay? You just need to check out their website and scroll. You'll be so wowed, I promise you. Also, side note, great spot for gorgeous gifts. I'm just saying. So give your summer closet an upgrade with Quince. Go to quince.com/momdad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/momdad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/momdad.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, hey, broads.
Morning.
Good morning. Coming at you for the first time in a couple weeks, not pre-recorded here.
Yes, true.
So strange. How was your trip?
Oh, man, it was great. It feels like ages ago now already.
How long have you been back for? Oh, back for a week. Okay.
Yeah, Oregon was so nice. It was...
It looked peaceful.
Yeah. So we went to our... You know what was nice? One, we were hanging out with a lot of the time people who also had kids, which I think I brought up to you before, is like very crucial now when you go on vacation. Otherwise, it's very important.
Sure.
It's way less stressful because the other people understand, but also we're such good friends with them and they have a 10-year-old daughter who's super helpful. So you can just be like, I got to do this, hand off the baby to literally anyone in the party.
Yeah.
And it makes life so much easier.
Yeah, it's not the, we're in fact going to do an episode. It'll come out on Thursday and we're going to talk parenting and like those questions that maybe you wouldn't be comfortable asking. And something that people kept asking was like, how do you handle relationships with people who don't have kids versus when you have kids? Because there is all of a sudden like you want to go hang out with your friends so badly and spend time with them, but when you have your kids it's just so impossible not to focus on them the whole time.
Yes, and I feel like it's something that happens as they get older. Like when Ruth was an infant, it really wasn't that big of a deal for me, or like younger than like a year. Like when she was crawling and stuff, it was like, it's fine, like she'll go on the boob, whatever. Now that there's two and that she's a very active toddler, it's a totally, you know what? I'm ready to pretty much ditch all my friends who don't have kids. Like literally,
Sorry, everybody.
I have some new mom friends and I'm just like, I won't be hanging out with anyone else because this is just so much fucking easier.
Yeah, no, we Ember and I got to see Ember's aunts for the first time since everything happened. And they do not have children. And
but they are like, they want to have kids so bad. Mm-hmm. So they were just like fixated on her. And I was like, oh my God, she's getting more attention than me. And I live for this. And then of course, before and after, sweet, sweet M had to get a COVID, got her COVID test. Uh-huh. And she got like the deep one. It just felt so bad.
Oh my gosh, was she traumatized?
A little bit, but the nurse
how did she react? Was she like, ah?
Oh, after the first one, yeah. Screaming, like, you know, but the nurse, he was so lovely. He was just like, you do so much better than so many of the adults that come in here. And then when we left, she did not let me forget that for the next couple of days. She was just like, just so you know, I am better than most grown people. And then she kept
just
asking
in general.
Me constantly if she's a teenager yet. So there's that.
You're like, you sure act like
I'm
it.
I'm like, so yeah, different. Queen, you definitely seem like a teenager most of the time.
Oh,
but,
my God.
Oh, man. I mean, what a past few couple weeks, huh?
Dude, I'm so glad that we have a podcast just so I can talk about the shit that I'm obsessed with, because I really got to, at some point, tell you about this crazy shit I watched last night.
Is this show that you were talking about?
Yeah, that I put on my close friends.
Okay, yeah. I need to know. I mean, it's always, we can always do the homework. We can do the broad homework and get into it.
I definitely want broads to do the homework. I mean, should I just tell you about it right now?
Yeah, give us a brief little like summation.
Okay. It's called I Think We're Alone Now. Not to be confused with like the sci-fi movie that came out in 2018, which okay. I Googled it and like, I guess that was a thing.
Everyone's just like, why is she wanting us to watch this sci-fi movie?
It's on YouTube. Look up I Think We're Alone Now. It was like a documentary, like it definitely seemed like a very independently made documentary back in 2008. And it's about these two super fan stalkers of this 80s pop star named Tiffany. Like yeah. That was just, I didn't know who she was.
Oh,
you know who
yeah.
She is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm an 80s baby, you know? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Of course. Oh, I would love to watch.
And everyone, you will. It's for me, it was deeply disturbing because it actually made me think, have I talked about the stalker scenario on the podcast? I don't remember. That I had in Portland.
Yeah. You talked about it on Michael Yeo's podcast.
Okay. Well,
why don't you
when everyone watches this documentary,
yes.
Next week, okay. We'll dive in and I'll talk a little bit about my stalker situation as well.
Okay. And technically it might have to get delayed. We have Bachelorette starting next week, my dear.
Well, what are we doing on Thursday?
I guess we can do that. Oh, no. We have your friend. I'm so excited.
She can wait. She can go the week after. Either way, sometime in the next couple weeks, we'll do an episode. I mean, yeah, everyone loves us anyway, so we'll throw it in.
We gotta talk the pop culture episode.
Watch I Think We're Alone Now. We'll talk about it at some point.
Okay, at some point. I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Yes.
As a distraction.
Yes. Yes.
A scary distraction.
Yes. It's
It's like, you know, the state of the world is not good when the distraction is watching a horrifying docu about
It's very bizarre because it's like horrifying, saddening, but then also sort of like touching.
You feel all the feelings because you get to know the people too.
Yeah, I mean, I had nightmares for sure.
Oh, girl, cool.
I was like, this is the age of social media. Like, everyone can figure out pretty much like where I live very easily. And I was like, oh my God, this Tiffany person, this is like 20 years later after her fame, and these people are still obsessed with her. I'm like, I just got off The Bachelor 3 years ago. I'm not saying I'm hot shit, but like these people's undying affection for this woman they don't know. Like, wow. Plus, yeah, the scenario that I had in Oregon with someone stalking.
Oh, yeah.
Me. Not this trip, but
oh, that's,
yeah.
That's a wild story.
Yeah. And I'll really dive into the details of it when we talk about this.
You know,
it was like, I was like, oh my God, this guy is like probably like this person.
We could have a scary story episode.
And just talk about stalker stories.
Well, I have definitely a handful of like actually really scary like break-in stories and stuff that like I don't want to.
You?
Yes. Yeah. Some like a bunch of family stories.
Okay. Look, we're recording.
What type of podcast? What episode would that be? It's just like, okay, we're going to talk all these really terrifying things.
Oh,
enjoy.
No, seriously, we should do it. Yeah. So we're going to record with Ellie on Saturday.
Yes.
Maybe the other one we do like bone chilling stories.
Yeah.
Personal, real stories.
And maybe some broads can send in some of their bone chilling stories. Oh, okay. God. I'm so scared.
Okay. Anyway. So.
Anyways, what a glorious way to start.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the past like week-ish has been wild in the country, and I definitely want to touch on that briefly.
Oh, we're talking about how our president has COVID?
Okay, well, there's that. Also, the debates and all that.
But old news compared to COVID.
Old news compared to COVID. But I did want to say this.
And
this
we should definitely talk about it, because this is like...
We need to talk about
it. It's almost like not even political at this point.
But I do want to say this before like jumping into it. A few things, if you don't mind me going off on a rant for a moment. First and foremost...
Go for it.
Definitely this, I think we used to say this a lot at the beginning of podcasts, and I think now, especially that we're talking like random news, we should definitely make it clear that we used to always say at the top of the podcast that this is not a TED Talk. You and I are not experts, nor do we know.
We're also not journalists.
Yes, I'm very far from a journalist. So this is a lot of Beck and I reading headlines, seeing clips, and then just talking shit. So yes. Especially, and I think a lot of our OG broads know this, but especially if you're a newer listener, please, I'm begging you, do your own research. Like, don't trust everything I'm saying, because I'm sure it's wrong a lot of the time.
Yeah, no. Like, we're not your life coach. We're not your doctor. This is us.
Like, sometimes we have absolute experts on this podcast as guests, but especially these episodes when you and I are talking headlines, I feel like I just want to make that very clear.
Yeah, guys, even though we talk like we're experts, we're not.
I know, like, sometimes we sound, we're like, yeah, this is absolutely the way it is. This is the disclaimer that, like, it's not.
We're very confident in our own opinions. And also, please remember that this is just like two best friends chatting on the couch.
Yeah, it's one of those moments.
This isn't Washington, D.C. or a newsroom.
I just want to make that clear, especially before talking politics or anything like that, because Lord knows, like, I try to stay somewhat updated, but every 5 seconds there's something new hitting the fan. And now this is the personal note. I'm going to take it down like so many notches, and this is so depressing. But I just felt like I should get honest on the pod. Okay. The past couple weeks, I've been having... like struggles with my mental health again. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
And I just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, since everything happened with the pandemic, I feel like I've been surprised being able to take like shit in stride, like mental health wise. But all of a sudden it hit me a couple weeks ago where I think, I don't know how like everyone else is with the other states, but you know, we've been in like lockdown for a while. Like the parks still aren't open and all that. And sometimes I look at Ember and I just feel like helpless. You know, like I don't know what to do or how to be like a good parent to her, and also process through work stuff with like job loss for our spouses and everything. And I think sometimes, like, especially with like the news stuff, I've been trying, because that's like, it's so important to stay so informed, but sometimes I'll step away and I'll miss like shit. And I've been just like, it's just been the battle of, you know, how much to intake because it's so important, and then how much to protect yourself. And I think with social media, I have a hard time sometimes knowing the balance, like, for myself. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going, like, I'm having this like moment where like you're spiraling, and then I'm just like, like, fuck you. Like, you're so privileged. Like, how are you feeling this way in these circumstances? Like, and you know, you do that whole thing, but I don't know. I just wanted to have a moment because I feel like, I realized the other day that since everything started, like, you and I have been doing this podcast still like twice a week. And I think it's such a good distraction for me sometimes. And then sometimes out of nowhere, I'll be like, oh my God, I feel like, I mean, you had a fucking baby. It'll hit you out of nowhere. You're like, there's so much right now. And I don't know. I just wanted to take a moment to kind of be like, just to be honest. And so if it's like, if sometimes in this podcast, I feel like I'm making light of like, oh my gosh, that like so much stuff that's going on. Sometimes it's a deflection to like protect.
Yeah, you know, humor is a big protection.
And that's why I've really liked, yes, you and I are both. And I think that's why I really like doing these pop culture podcasts, and why I'm so excited for The Bachelorette to start next week, because I think like it's so important to need to stay informed and to stand up for what's right and talk about things that need to be talked about. But sometimes I'm just like, I just want to talk shit and have these fun, crazy, weird conversations and get shit wrong about pop culture and say whatever. But I just feel like to, I just wanted to be honest. Yes. And then I also feel like there's probably so many of our listeners right now that just feel like, I mean, everyone right now, like every day, there's just something and just the amount of information coming in. And I can't imagine for our listeners who are in like marginalized groups. Like, I mean, all of this right now, I just really can't imagine. I just wanted to like take a moment to be like, I love our listenership. I love you. I'm grateful for you. I'm sorry if I fuck shit up sometimes. Sometimes I don't know like certain info that's coming in and I feel like I make mistakes, but this is a, this has been,
girl, we both do.
I love you too. But I feel like this has like been just a safe place, like twice a week where I can talk to you and just kind of get away from everything, you know?
Here. Bring it.
Sorry, that was like, and now my eyelash is falling off. And we were, sorry. I know that was such like a turn, but I just feel like sometimes I want to be like straight on this podcast, especially because it's like, I know so many of the broads are, have like tight relationships with each other and are really open and honest with each other. And, you know, I want to be that way too.
Thank you.
Anyways. So my point is
so any tea?
So no, my point is before we dive into like all the political, I've been down that road and it's been okay. This is where my brain went. So yeah. Mama's all over the place. Past like 7 days doing like legwork with family and friends, trying to be like, yo, we need to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. So if I'm missing shit and I'm getting stuff wrong, I apologize. I'm not fully updated on everything.
How can one be, you know?
Yeah, like, true.
Please do not hold us to such a high standard.
Did you see the fact checklist after the debate from Trump?
You know, there was a point where they were both throwing around numbers and I was like, I think you're both... definitely more so Trump, but I was like, I don't feel like any of these numbers are accurate. And you know, Biden sometimes trips over some things. So then he was like, 2 million Americans have died. And I was like, wait a second, what is going on here?
No, they like legit, they asked like directly after. So I was watching the debate by myself and I had to be alone. I was like, turn off the lights, bring out the wine. I just have to like focus.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the entire thing.
What? Okay, talk about mental health.
It probably wasn't a good call. I was like, if I had high blood pressure, this would have just sent me over the edge.
20 minutes, less than 20 minutes, 15 minutes in, we were like, okay, this is, let's not do this.
I could not believe what I was watching. Like, truly could not believe. And then afterwards, I was watching a fact checker. And it was something like, obviously, after presidential debates, they always have the fact checker, so important. And everyone gets... some things wrong, right? I mean, you used to do debate, right? We all know.
You just throw in some stats to make a compelling argument.
You make it up. I remember at one point in my life debating about like why a bunny is better than a guinea pig. It was like some child debate, you know, for Toastmasters or whatever it was called. And I remember just throwing out stats like nobody's business. And afterwards, the teacher being like, there was a lot of lying in that debate. I was like, you got no problem, boss. The fact checker afterwards was like, it was something like, and I'm going to botch these numbers, but it was something.
You're
like,
about to pull fake statistics.
But it was legit like 80 something percent.
More than 50. More than 50. Much you more can, than, you can say for sure.
Much
more than
50. Half of what Donald Trump said was false. And then
factually,
and
false.
Then Biden, it was something like 18% or like, you know, whatever, more of a typical number in a debate. And I just couldn't. And the thing is, Biden didn't even have the opportunity to make up shit if he wanted to, because Donald Trump would not stop interrupting.
Also
him.
Wasn't this moderator from Fox News?
Yes,
like
this was on like quote unquote Trump's team, right?
And he came out swinging. Don did. He was like,
Don was pissed.
He came out like ready to fight literally everyone.
It was just like, my goodness. I didn't know what type of energy, because let's be real. Sometimes we get a different energy with Donald. Sometimes we get the aggro Donald. Sometimes we get the super cocky and condescending and gonna just ignore you with the nose up in the air, right?
Yeah.
More of the apprentice version.
More of the 2016 debates version.
Yes, exactly.
Because I kept hearkening back to his debate with Hillary, and I was like, it did not go down like this.
No. And it was
the man's been getting too high on his own supply. Lynn,
let's be honest. It's like, I remember thinking that debate was wild. It was like, hold my drink, okay? We're going to do something that is so on brand for 2020. It's going to blow your mind. Like, it's just, I couldn't.
Terrible. Terrible.
All I could think about was, I had such massive secondhand embarrassment with all the other countries watching us. I was just like, I apologize for everything.
It was like Idiocracy.
It's like, who is filming this like joke documentary? Like, what are those called? The comedy documentary?
Mockumentary.
I'm like, who's filming it? Is this like a Wes Anderson type thing?
Is Ashton Kutcher going to jump out? Like,
what's
you know
happening?
What I kept thinking? You know who we need as a fucking moderator? Andy Cohen with that kind of shit.
Oh, he would have been phenomenal.
It was Watch What Happens Live worthy. Like, it was Real Housewives finale status.
All right, well, life gets busy, broads. We all have those days for whatever reason where suddenly you look up from your computer and it's 4 p.m. or you finally get your kiddos down for a nap and all you've gotten in your stomach is coffee and a few bites of their discarded breakfast. Speaking from experience here, obviously. Well, I have to tell you about my favorite way to make sure I'm eating well no matter how busy I get, and that is with the help of Daily Harvest.
Daily Harvest is the most surefire way to guarantee healthy, nutritious meals, even on your busiest days. All of their meals come frozen, which makes them super easy to store, but don't let that word frozen send you for a loop, because Daily Harvest works directly with farms to make sure their ingredients are picked and frozen at peak ripeness so that all the good flavor stays locked in. And like always, they never use any. They use no added sugars, preservatives, or artificial ingredients.
Oh, we love Daily Harvest. Yeah. We eat so much Daily Harvest.
Even their ice creams are sweetened with maple syrup instead of like refined sugar. Were you about to talk about that?
I'm going to talk about those scoops in just a second. Daily Harvest has options for every time of day, like delicious smoothies for breakfast, crisp flatbreads for lunch, harvest bowls, and hearty soups for dinner. Just the other day, I made their sweet potato and wild rice harvest bowl for dinner.
Ooh, it's
threw
good.
In some avocado and I immediately went online and ordered more because it was that good. I hadn't actually had that one yet. Also, their scoops. We have to talk about this. Their scoops are the most delicious, okay? I'm obsessed with the mint and dark melty cacao chips.
My favorite too.
So good. Yeah, and like you were saying, okay, this is what is inside that scoop. Coconut, maple, dark chocolate, spirulina, peppermint. That's it. What? And it tastes like heaven somehow.
It's delicious.
I'm shocked. This is the perfect order for the Bachelorette watching
True.
Times. I'm going to be ordering a ton of them.
Same. Well, Daily Harvest makes it easy to eat clean. It's undeniably delicious food no matter what your day brings. You can keep it simple with Daily Harvest and go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code CHATTY to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code CHATTY for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. Dailyharvest.com.
Broads, I have to ask, does anyone know what's going on?
No, that's kind of the energy for this episode.
I mean, seriously, every time I think this year can't get any more bizarre, it does. Needless to say, the current state of the world isn't exactly easing my anxiety and sleeplessness like I was talking about earlier. I honestly don't know how I would survive if I didn't have Feels at this moment. Feels Premium CBD has been helping calm my mind. Honey.
God, I love Feels. It's a must have if you're laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, trying to drift into sleep. If that sounds familiar to you, then you need to try Feels CBD. It naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness, and it's delivered directly to your doorstep. And if you're new to CBD, Feels has a free helpline to help guide your experience and you can find the right dose for you. And if you already know CBD works for you, you can join the Feels membership to save money on your monthly
deliveries.
Like I said, Brad, it's 2020 in my anxiety, you know, a match made in hell. But when I started taking Feels to help the anxiety, stress, aches and pains and headaches that come from that anxiety and stress, it made an exponential difference. All this without any high hangover or risk of addiction that has kept me away from, you know, different traditional aids. Just put a few drops under your tongue and within minutes, you'll start to feel the difference. And by the way, if you have any questions, if you're not sure about CBD and you want to know more, they have a CBD hotline and they have amazing like operators and people will talk to you on that hotline and explain anything that you might have a question about.
Mm-hmm. Well, Feels has helped us feel our best every day, and it can help you too. And you can become a member today by going to feels.com/chatty, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's FEALS.com/chatty to become a member, and you'll get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/chatty.
And the moment, like the 2020 moment, honestly, was when Joe Biden shook his head and said, "Will you just shut up?
Will you just shut up, man?" That's where I was like, "What is happening?"
I was standing up at that point cheering because I was just like, "This is like, someone please say it. Someone, will someone, first of all, cut Trump's mic? Will someone say something to tell him to just stop?" I mean, it was just
broad. Like, this is the thing. If you're going to be if you're going to be a Trump fan, if you're a Trump fan, please admit that that was ridiculous.
I don't know how you could not be.
You know what it kept reminding me of?
Well, yeah.
You know what it kept reminding me of? It reminded me of someone who was this is like a call out at myself. Someone who was hot shit on The Bachelor and then comes on The Women Tell All and then is like, "You're a fucking bitch, you're a skank," you know? Yes. And it's like they basically like have channeled all that energy of everyone liking them, and then they think they're like, "Just wait, everyone's gonna love when I just go wild," and then everyone is like, "Well, what the fuck is wrong with
that's
you?"
That's such a good comparison, because I was listening to, I think it was CNN beforehand, and they were talking about how they were so interested how this was gonna go, because really, he's been, you know, the president has been in a bubble for a while, just being around yes men and just
doing rallies.
Doing rallies, people who are just supporting him. So, like, what is it going to be like for him to be with people who are opposed to him? Did you watch the perfection that was SNL on Saturday?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
I heard it was pretty good.
I mean, it was like,
it had Jim Carrey on.
Jim Carrey's,
right?
Yeah. Joe Biden, and then of course Alec Baldwin, yeah, is Donald Trump. And it was so, like, the thing that was freaky about it is there was like no difference between the SNL skit and the actual. They just took lines. Like, half of the script from the SNL was straight from like his absurd monologue, basically. Absurd. And then at one point at the very end, you have, like, you know, Alec Baldwin as Trump is going off, and then all of a sudden Jim Carrey takes a remote control for a TV and stops it, and like walks out, and he's like, "Didn't we all want to do this, America? Let's have our moment." And then he like talks to the camera directly.
Oh my God, I could not with the direct camera talking.
I know.
It was sweet.
And again, you know, we talk mental health right now. I've been in this like this deep zone lately where I think probably to protect my very fragile soul right now is that I'm often looking at Ember. I just will stare at her and I'll just be like, "You are my everything. Oh my God." And I'm like, "I just want to spend time with you and that's it." Like, I just want to like absorb her and her sweet little precious innocence. And when Trump came for Biden's son and it got personal, I was ready to just hit the streets. I was so angry.
I missed that part. Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
It was towards the end of the debate, and they were talking about military, and, you know, Biden was saying, like, "You actually don't support the military. These are, like, you've called them losers," and all this.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying that, and then all of a sudden, Trump started interrupting him and saying, "What about your son? What about your son?" And he goes, "Bo is a veteran," like, and he's saying, "My son protected this country and he is a good man." And he goes, No, "Your other son, Hunter." And he's now interrupting, like, they're talking about the military, and he's interrupting Biden to talk about Hunter. And Trump's yelling over Biden, saying, you know, how he was kicked out of the military because he's a cocaine addict. I mean, just airing personal. And then, and Biden looked in, and I started legit crying. This is where I'm at. Biden looked into the camera and he goes, "My son, Hunter, I'm sure many of you out there are parents who have children who've struggled with addictions, and he's doing so well, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud of you," like looking into the camera. And it was like,
that's just what's so embarrassing, is that there are these low blows that Donald Trump does that people could go for him. He will take these cheap shots at people knowing they're not going to take equal cheap shots back at him. Like, yes. it's so.
And
dude,
I'm
breaking the wall right now, the fourth wall. And like, yes, I'm 100% voting for Joe Biden.
Of course.
This is my endorsement.
We've tried to not be political. Like, we try to keep this podcast kind of like, hey, we're going to talk Bachelor, we're going to talk fun shit. But at this point,
I don't give a fuck.
Like, we're voting for Biden. Surprise.
This is the thing. This is the thing for me. Well, for one, there's so many facets of this, because I know people vote for, like, okay, whatever. Like, all this policy stuff, whatever the people can, I mean, I sound like such an idiot. But basically, when I watched the debates, I was just like, this person has like literally no respect and no reverence for like the system, like mm-hmm. let alone other people. Mm-hmm. And he is someone who loves chaos and yes. seeks out like chaos yes. and division.
Yes. And it was so obvious.
Which, by the way, did you know that he, like, declared Antifa as a terrorist organization, and the KKK, which the KKK wasn't already a terrorist organization, apparently, but not like organizations like the Proud Boys.
And then, of course, you know, you're seeing all these posts, and it's people like, oh, being like, look at him denouncing it in the past. I'm like, I don't care about him denouncing it in the past. When it's asked on stage in front of the American people, how hard is it?
Plus, it's like, surprise, surprise. Why are you even asking it in the first place? We all know where this man sits when it comes to these issues. What are we expecting?
Well, and then at one point, he then makes fun of how big Joe Biden's mask is and how far he stands away from people.
And then the man gets COVID.
I mean, the timing is like, It's like an Edgar Allan Poe like poem. Like, the timing of all of this, it's the most like literary. You can't make up this shit. And then the thing that's wild that I was reading is that you know, obviously Trump and Melania have it. Kellyanne Conway has it now too.
Chris Christie has it. Yeah,
all these people, and Hope, the person who they think might have initially given it to Trump. Apparently, he knew that she tested positive, had been around him constantly, and yet he continued to go out for a couple days.
Oh yeah, unmasked. Yeah. I did hear this.
So
throwing out hats, the rallies and shit.
Yeah, did you see all those?
He's a super spreader.
He's a super spreader. I mean, my goodness. And this is what's so interesting. So now all of a sudden there's all these people reporting, right? Everyone's the theories. It's like, right. You know, obviously what I'm very, and I told you, I'm like, what I'm paranoid about is that like he is going to somehow like conquer this in, I mean, it's been more than 48 hours, but 48 hours and be like, it was nothing. It's a
different. Totally. Like, yes.
And have this
but
happen.
He'll write it off.
But yeah. I follow this girl on Instagram, which, by the way, if you don't follow her, this is one of my highly recommended follows. And on Instagram, her handle is King Gutter Baby. Have you heard of her?
No.
Her name is Laurel Bristow, and she's an infectious disease researcher. So she's been researching and part of the team researching COVID this entire time. And every day she comes, or at least once a week, she comes on and answers all of these questions.
Sorry,
and
what's her name? King what?
King Gutter Baby.
Okay.
And she answers. She's so good. And she just puts out like data.
Mm-hmm.
She just basically like says, as an infectious research specialist who's on the team working with COVID, this is wrong.
Mm.
This is how this article misinterpreted this. This mm-hmm. is how they misinterpreted mm-hmm. this. She's so funny, too. She's a great time. Anyways, she was saying, I was watching one of her IG stories, and she was talking about how what's interesting to her is that the specific things they're putting, or like with whatever, I don't know if it's medicine or what like regimen they're putting Trump on, within like 48 hours of him getting airlifted to a hospital, is something that she says typically is known in the medical community now, that if you are like really struggling with COVID and you're not doing well, they give this to you. But it's known typically that if they give this to you when you're like early on and doing okay, it can make it worse. Mm. So she said, my hypothesis, considering
it's actually serious,
is that it might be actually serious.
Yeah.
Even though he's tweeting out, but he tweeted out something and he was like, thank you for the prayers. And in all caps, he wrote love with like 12 exclamation points. And people were like, doesn't seem like he's doing okay.
I mean, it's like, yeah, one of my friends is like, highly I think he's doing really bad. But, you know, he was walking out to the plane. You know, we saw him in the car doing like a little press thing. I don't think he's on his deathbed. I mean, you made an excellent point. You sent me over voice memo that the man is like, to quote you, you said like a cockroach.
Yeah.
He'll survive anything. Uh-huh. And that this virus will probably make him more powerful.
I'm very afraid of these things.
It's going to mutate with Donald Trump to create him into the super spreader.
He's going to be King COVID.
King Donnie COVID.
God help us. God help the USA.
Speaking of which, did you know that Leo has a podcast?
Dude, I cannot breathe. Anyways, after that rant, point is per past the past few episodes, in the episode notes, there will be links to register to vote and to check to make sure you're registered to vote.
I got my ballot in the mail. Did you?
Yes, I haven't gotten mine yet.
Really?
No.
You ready to commit some voter fraud via mail?
Let's do it, baby. Oh my goodness. God. No, I haven't gotten mine yet.
And I'm sure you also saw how he released those press photos of him like still doing work. Okay, I follow this right.
Oh, you mean the photos from the Oval Office while he was in the hospital? And it was like, we all know.
Wait, this is so funny.
But this shit is so reality TV, Becca.
Oh, like, I know.
The reality TV production never stops.
Oh, no. I follow this crazy right-wing account, and they said, they posted this photo and go, President Trump's response to his doctors telling him to get some rest. Hashtag dragon energy. Serious.
Dragon energy. Oh my God.
Do you remember what that's from?
No.
Kanye West was like, me and the president, we both have dragon energy.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh my Lord.
You mean my like narcissistic personality disorder? Yes, I mean, that is some dragon energy, baby. Dragon energy. Look at this man. Imagine saying that he has dragon energy.
I mean,
maybe like swamp creature energy.
I will say during the the debates, he looked like maybe he had ran out of tanning like oils, because he didn't look quite as orange per usual. And I don't know if that was maybe because the COVID had been contracted already. Like, I'm not sure, but he looked definitely not as orange. And I was like, what are we trying to do right now? Like, why?
Are you rebranding?
That's what I feel like maybe. I mean, he is a reality TV star. Like, I feel like rebranding's part of the... What if he comes out of the hospital and COVID has changed him? He's like, I'm a raging liberal. In fact, I'm like team
he's
Bernie
had
Sanders.
Brain damage.
I'm gonna bring Bernie Sanders in. And I'm so sorry for everything I've done. Here's all my money. Like,
what money? He doesn't have any money. We Does also found this out in the past two weeks about how he's $300 million in loans that are about to.
Wait, for real?
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No, because I was distracted about the fact that he only paid $750 on taxes.
Well, yeah, part of that is he has like $300 million. It's probably $3,300,000. Who fucking knows? I think it was $300 million. That sounds dramatic. Accurate. I'll say that. I'm pretty sure it's $300 million, though, actually, in loans that are due soon.
I had no idea. This is also something. Let us not let the COVID distract us from voting. Let us not let the COVID distract us from seeing those tax returns. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's not let it distract. That's the only thing.
Well, so what I was going to say about these photos, though, of him signing stuff, there was a zoomed in one, I think, on Diet Prada of him just signing his name on a blank piece of paper with a Sharpie, just writing Trump on the paper, making it look like he was doing work.
Oh, no. So they're just catching him. Oh,
and then God. They also went on the website that originally posted them. And like there was two different photos, like one of him in this office in one outfit and one of them somewhere else. And like they did the metadata, I don't even know, computer nerd shit, and figured out that the photos were taken 9 minutes and 42 seconds apart, meaning that they had him do like an outfit change and go somewhere else to look like he was doing, like it was just a full photo shoot, which I love, honestly.
It's reality TV.
Yeah, it would be great if it wasn't our, you know, someone with our country in it, their hands.
That's the big asterisk in this situation.
I mean, I'm living for the dragon energy.
I'm living for an outfits change. You know that I love a photo shoot.
And like I said, if this is on an Andy Cohen reunion,
if in fact
here for
it. If in fact they had real house husbands and Trump was part of the cast,
we got to see Melania closet tours. Yeah, you know, this
sure.
If this was like a parody of the United States, I would love it. You know what the crazy thing is, though, is like, I was thinking, like, we shouldn't even be surprised about this man being in office because he is a reflection, like, of our country, like of us as individuals, like of our dark sides, of our like mindless consumerism and our like obsession with like wealth and power and status. Be it like on Instagram, getting a bunch of followers or like it's living so true, a real luxurious life. Like he's reflections of all of our shadow selves.
We did this to ourselves.
Yeah. And with that being said, remember to support our sponsors of our show. Keep the broads going, you know. And I know that there's going to be people in the comments like, hate when you ladies get political. Of Why course, can't we just yeah. blah, 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 blah. Shut up. We're going to say what we want. Okay.
And we have to at this point. We've tried to, you know, keep it pop culture, whatever. But this is what's happening in the country right now. And this is pop culture. And guess what? That debate was pop culture news because that was a reality TV show.
It absolutely was.
And so we have to talk about that. And if it's bothering you, tune in next week to have us do the Bachelorette breakdown.
And I don't care that Biden's like basically on his deathbed. Like the man, the difference is the man is going to like cater to. I feel like he will fulfill the role of the president in the way the role of the president is supposed to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Instead of just playing, or, you know, Trump does whatever he wants. That's not what a politician is supposed to do.
It's also like, have you seen, I mean, it's that post that was going around on Instagram that I thought was like so good. That's, you know, people who aren't necessarily like, you know, fans of Joe Biden, it's saying it's not about Joe Biden. It's about Black Lives Matter. It's about saving democracy. It's about systemic racism and gender equality. It's about healthcare. It's about the pandemic. It's about LGBTQ rights, immigrant rights, climate change, like all these things. It's not, you know, you don't have to be a fan of.
Yeah. And Biden. If you're not a fan of 105 degree weather in October, looking at you, LA people, maybe put someone in office who doesn't think the weather will change. It'll change.
Speaking.
You saw that clip, right?
Oh, yes.
What did he say? It'll get colder. Wait. It's just like, well, yeah, it's going to be December soon. Of course, it's going to get colder.
Okay, Father Christmas. Why are you predicting these things now?
Jack Frost.
I remember in April around Easter when you said that we could have church service and this pandemic was going to be gone. Now you're telling us it's going to get colder?
Yeah, you know what's hilarious too is that now he has COVID, he's tweeting about like this awful plague. He's calling it like a horrible, terrible plague.
He's actually calling it COVID-19 now.
Instead of the China virus?
Yes. Which he said literally during the debates. Well, and you're like, just like, what is happening? Anyway, speaking of politics, do you know who got a little political? Bachelor Nation, Chris Harrison. Oh my goodness.
What?
The shade that was thrown.
What?
Okay, so we have to talk Batch Nation because they came out and they did the official announcement of Claire's...
Quote, Claire's
men.
Yeah.
Right? And it was like, I think 31 men. And Chris Harrison did like a Facebook Live that wasn't live, you know, where he basically went over all the guys and talked about all of them. And then he was doing interviews afterwards. And there were a few good things about some of the interviews. But one of the points of the interview I felt was like, I'm like, oh God, we are getting political. Someone asked about what it was like filming The Bachelorette during the COVID times. And Chris Harrison threw some major shade at California Governor Gavin Newsom. He was talking about how it was extremely difficult and like taxing. Obviously, they're having to do the bubble and they're having to take all these precautions. True, true. But then he's like, well, also shooting in, this is what he said, okay, word for word. He goes, also shooting in California was interesting. We have a active, eager governor who was excited to change the rules when he woke up in the morning, apparently.
About what? What would
it- he's talking about, like, he was saying that every day they were having, like, okay, sometimes we can't go into a restaurant, sometimes we can. But the way he, like, he made eye contact with the camera, he's like, we have an active, eager government who's excited to change the rules when he wakes up in the morning. I was like, oh, shit.
You know what's crazy, too, is, like, so Gray's dealing with, like, his gym not being able to open in LA County, right? Gavin Newsom's kids are climbing at the climbing gym up in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Like indoors with no mask on and stuff.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. But the Chris Harrison threw that shit out there. It was like, okay, we see, you know, and he always likes certain, people are always catching him liking certain like Instagram posts and tweets and whatever. And then he threw that shade at Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom and I was dying. But anyways, that just gave me a good giggle when I was listening to the other interviews. But
yeah, imagine actually that they were in the middle of filming when things were like,
oh,
you know, in June where it was like, everything's open.
But when he was talking about that, I was also confused because I was like, I thought y'all were staying in the bubble. And if you're staying in the bubble, why do restaurants opening and closing have anything to do with this?
I don't know. Would that affect like restaurants like on the resort property? Like maybe legally the resort can't operate in room dining? I'm not in room, like in,
you know. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting point. Maybe they couldn't, I don't know. I would think that beforehand that they, that would have been part of the whole deal. It's like, we have private catering coming in to handle everything so that the hotel isn't liable for any potential problem. You'd think that the hotel would want to protect themselves during all of this.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Or like maybe it was one of those things where like Chris and Claire are supposed to like go out to eat at a restaurant together to chat over what's happening. I mean, I don't know.
But they're supposed to be in that bubble. Well, broads, apparently I was mistaken, but I 100% thought I had kind of figured out skincare years ago. But surprise, surprise, in recent years, blackheads galore. Yay. I blame the air quality, first of all, why they've gotten so bad. But this has sent me on a mission to find the best facial cleansing brush. And I am happy to report I have found it. The Tau Clean Orbital Facial Brush is my new favorite tool in my skincare arsenal. I mean, trust me, especially with the air lately, it has been getting a lot of use. And I am clean. Mm-hmm. I'm scrubbing those blackheads out. Perfection.
I also feel like it helps me fully get my makeup off, which is a big deal. Like,
that is a huge deal.
It's all off, and then you use the brush, and then you look down, and it's orange, and you're like, okay, well,
here we are.
A lot of features that separate the Tau facial brush from tools you may have used in the past, but by far the coolest thing is that after you rinse the brush head, the brush is powerful. The brush, like the thing you put the brush on, what would you call it? The dock.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has powerful UVC rays that kill 99% of bacteria, 99.9% of bacteria. It's pretty good. Other brushes collect bacteria on their brush heads, which goes right back into your skin. Gross during your next use, but it pretty much defeats the purpose of the brush in the first place. But since incorporating the Tau Clean brush into my routine, skin's glowing, feels cleaner than it ever has before.
It is glowing, I will say that.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed, and apparently so is everybody else, because the Tau facial brush has a ton of raving 5-star reviews and was recently featured on the Today Show. Dr. Pimple Popper's number one rated facial brush. I mean, talk about a glowing recommendation, okay? I think it's pretty safe to say she knows her stuff when it comes to skincare.
Well, if you're ready to elevate your skincare and see incredible results quickly, then you need the Tau Clean Orbital Facial Brush. You won't find anything else like it. Tau Clean is offering our listeners 62% off the Tau Clean Orbital Facial Brush. Normally, it retails for $149. But like with this code, amazing. And the discount also applies towards any product site-wide. You just have to go to tauclean.com/chatty to take advantage of this incredible savings. That's T-A-O-C-L-E-A-N.com chatty, and you'll get 62% off the facial brush when you enter code chatty at checkout.
Well, if you are anything like me, your breast size has changed since the world shifted months ago. Mama needs a new bra, okay? The past 6 months. But a lot of dressing rooms are closed. And even the ones that aren't, those dimly lit dressing rooms, at bra stores, the fittings, one of my least favorite things, if I'm being honest, which is why I'm so excited to share with you all the new and very much improved way to shop for bras. It's online and it's with Third Love.
Third Love is the best.
The best.
They were and still are my go-to for nursing bras because they're functional and cute, which can be hard to find. Plus, I already know and love the quality of their products because so many of my other bras and the ones I find myself reaching for the most often are Third Love. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because they have bras in over 80 different sizes with measurements they've taken from millions of different customers. So you'll have so much more to choose from than you typically find in a store. A little something for everyone.
Yeah. And I feel like that warrants repeating bras. 80 different sizes. Did you catch all that? This includes cup sizes, AA through I, bands 30 through 48 and half sizes. If that gets you thinking that you might have been wearing the wrong size all along, hi, you're not alone. I found out that my cup size was completely different than what I was wearing for a long time, and it makes a huge difference. And that's why you'll start off taking Third Love's online fit finder quiz to help you figure out your breast size and shape, and you'll be shown personalized recommendations based on your results. And all of their bras come with their perfect fit promise, which gives you 60 days to return your bras. And if you don't love it, they'll be donated to someone in need.
My favorite. Mm-hmm. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 10% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/chatty now to find your perfect fitting bra and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/chatty for 10% off today.
He also said in the interview, he was just like, yeah, we had our bachelor bubble. No one left the bubble. And I was like, but you left the bubble.
You literally did.
He directly was like, no one left the bubble. I'm like, but quick question, you left the bubble and it was posted all about everywhere. There's just like this hypnosis. He's like, no one ever left the bubble. Forget about what you saw and what you will see in the season when JoJo has to come replace me for a couple weeks.
What?
Yeah, I don't understand why, like, I don't know. But it the same oddities were going on with other pieces of this interview, okay? So he did address, I will say, Chris Harrison addressed diversity in one of these interviews. He talked about, finally, the conversation, and he talked about how, they made active efforts on... you know, quote unquote, Claire's season, having Matt James as the bachelor. He's like, obviously you can't casting. He's like, you can't see certain things behind the scenes, but we're making a change and all that. And so he did address that finally, which was good. Mm-hmm. But then another parts of these interviews is they're asking,
what are these on? I did not hear about these.
Just clips like okay. On E, on Access. Okay. And one of the clips, I think it was on Access Hollywood, she was asking him, question. You keep calling, okay, before I'm saying this, this is not a spoiler alert for anyone who knows.
It's not a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler anymore? I mean, I feel like for people, but just FYI, if you literally know nothing about quote unquote Claire's season, you can skip ahead. But... he said, the interviewer asked, she's like, you keep calling it Claire's season. What about the rumors about Tayshia? And he said, he was like, yeah, heard some of those. And, Tayshia would be a great bachelorette. But I'll just say I got to know Claire really, really well over this. And he's playing it off like she's not going to be the bachelorette. And so I'm like, are we now living in this world where his girlfriend Lauren Zima is reporting it's official that Tayshia's the bachelorette, but then he's letting people ask in the interviews if she is and like avoiding the question? It's very strange. And then Reality Steve reported a couple days ago, and Reality Steve, I'll pull up the exact quote. This is not a spoiler, just FYI. Reality Steve reported, and he said, starting to hear things aren't quite the way the media is portraying them, and the narrative is getting spun so they can produce clickbait headlines. No specifics, everything is very vague, and outlets are speaking in generalizations. We'll update as soon as I can get confirmation. There's one main narrative all the media outlets and IG accounts have been running with, and I'm hearing that's not the case. I think people will be surprised if this ends up being true. Stay tuned. So I'm like, hold on a second.
Maybe it actually is Claire season.
Like, what if it actually is Claire season, and this whole Tayshia thing, she got brought out for something else? What if they did end up filming like a mini Bachelor in Paradise, and that then got twisted into her?
What the fuck?
And I'm like, but then I'm also just like, are they now just trying to like mega fuck with us by doing this last minute, being like, because then, you know, but of course, when Chris goes in the interview, in one of these Access Hollywood interviews, he says, well, things aren't maybe what you're thinking, and you're going to be surprised. He's like, I'm hearing a lot of reports, and I think you're going to be surprised. But when Chris Harrison says that, you're kind of like, all right.
But it's like Lauren Zima announcing it, like that could be fucking with us.
Yes.
Considering she's basically in on production.
She's legit
now.
In bed with Chris Harrison. Yes. And they're like, is this the ultimate plan? But if they do that, especially with this, you know, push for diversity that they're saying they're attempting to do, and then you fuck with us and tell us that Tayshia's going to be the Bachelorette. What? I don't know. It's all feeling very odd. It's feeling very odd.
Because remember, we thought, like, it seems like Tayshia's hasn't been gone that long, but, like, no. Maybe it's because they don't have to, they don't have travel time. I did feel like that was a big thing.
That's true. But also, if Tayshia, if they filmed, like, a mini Bachelor in Paradise, what, they filmed for 2 weeks?
But no one else was gone for that long, like, via social media. No one was absent on Instagram that long. Tayshia was the longest. Even Becca was, like, only gone. She wasn't even gone off of it, I don't think, completely.
She was just, like, gone for, like, 2 days or something like that.
Yeah. So it's, like,
I don't know. And it's giving me anxiety, okay? Because now, and then the other thing, too, is Chris Harrison in his interviews, he said, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people talking about how we're off filming with Matt James. He's like, and I don't know where that rumor's coming from, because he's like, because I'm right here in my house, and as far as I know, Matt's in his. But there were photos that leaked that looked like they were filming in Colorado or South Dakota or wherever they're going, I forget.
With the women.
Well, no, you just saw Matt James there.
Because didn't Reality Steve, though, like, post that it was... No, never
mind. He was like, oh, the women will be coming soon. Here's Matt James at the hotel with production crew. But Chris Harrison's just like... And this was from a interview with him a couple days ago. And he was like, don't know how that got out. He's like, because as far as I know, unless, like, you know, they're doing the show without me and Matt James, we're both at our houses.
I guess it could have been, like... Matt James.
Maybe, huh? I don't know. Everything is very up in the air.
I mean, we'll start to find out next week.
We will. I cannot. I'm so excited.
On your birthday, right?
On my birthday, it airs. What a gift.
Wow.
But then Chris Harrison, like I was saying, did this whole Instagram or Facebook Live thing where he basically pulled up the photos of all the guys on Claire's season and did a breakdown. And I'm going to tell you this. I watched half of it and then kind of just took my cursor through the rest of it because, in my opinion, broads, don't watch this. He kind of spoils stuff.
Oh.
It was like, what's going on?
Oh, well, he's throwing in little comments.
He was like, I'm going to throw in Easter eggs for you. And so it's like you pull up one guy and you're like, well, this guy starts a lot of drama and he'll be around for a while. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then,
whoa, guy.
Or like this guy, like, you know, he's really shy, but you'll be surprised. He stays around longer and him and Claire have a, and you're like, well, why are you saying all these things? Like talking about, like even planting already, like this guy's going to be the villain.
What?
This guy's really, these two guys are going to be fan favorites of Bachelor Nation. Like legit spoiling stuff. It's so strange that they're breaking down. It's so different from anything they've ever done before.
Bizarre.
Which then you go, okay, well, if...
I mean, he actually has done that for old seasons. I remember he did it with my season. Yeah, he was like, but it wasn't, yeah, it was like with an interview with Access or something where it was like,
Oh,
she is a this, like this. And
oh, you didn't he say something about, what did he say about you?
Star.
All is forgiven, Chris.
Come home to mama.
Come home to mama.
Yeah, I don't know. So he sort of like does that, but that seems weird.
This was like 40 minutes long. Like, he went into decent detail about some of these men.
Bizarre.
Beautiful cast. Top notch.
Handsome guys.
Like, oh man, this is going to be one of them seasons where there's a lot of fanning.
You know happening. Why? It's because they're all not 23 years old.
That's probably part of the thing. Yeah. Where, you know, especially like some of the older men, I'm just like, yeah, all of the 22-year-olds, at least for this almost 32-year-old, it's a little uncomfy sometimes.
So, any other interesting things? I know there's some stuff that I just forgot to write down that happened in this past week.
With the Bachelor,
etc.
I think Bachelor-wise, that's been the main. I mean, again, Bachelor starts, just a reminder, Broads, Bachelor starts on, it airs on Tuesday. So our episodes will now be dropping, at least for the foreseeable future, Wednesday and Friday, yes. Which is going to be such a weird change. It's going to turn everything upside down in my brain. But yeah, I think that's kind of it. I mean, I do have other reality tea. Speaking of Andy Cohen, housewife tea.
Tell me.
So
I'm so behind. I haven't watched Housewives in forever.
Okay. Housewives has been my
saving
grace.
The more I say
grace.
That word, the more it like doesn't sound like a real word.
That's why I had to repeat it. I'm like, I thought the same thing.
I was like, housewives.
Housewives.
Real housewives.
Housewife. The Real Housewives have been a safe haven for me over the past. I have loved every moment of watching these seasons because minus the interviews, they were all filmed pre-pandemic. Mm. So it feels kind of normal. People are out and about. I mean, normal in the sense of like they're all multimillionaires and screaming at each other.
On TV. Yeah.
On television. But and then actually they had... The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they did a Zoom reunion, but The Real Housewives of New York, they did their first like in-person reunion, and they all were just like 6 feet apart, and they came in wearing like the most chic masks ever.
That is so funny.
It was everything. And there's a new Real Housewife named Leah who you would obsess over.
New York, right?
New York.
Who Ramona hates?
Ramona hates her.
I've seen clips.
Obsessed
the
with
one
her.
You think I think you sent or Taylor sent to me, the one where she's like dancing on the table and Ramona's like,
yes,
I'm done, like, oh my god,
it's incredible. And she's just like so hot, and she's like a single mom who, I mean, you know, co-parenting still, but like single mom, runs her own business, has been running it for years, and just is like Artie and makes them go down to like Artie districts in New York, and they're like, oh, this is so dirty, where are we? And they just, you know, but she stands up. She came in, but didn't pull the like, I came in super like swinging, like, right, I'm gonna come for people. She was trying to be friendly, but she also won't let people give her shit, and we were obsessed. She's my favorite new housewife by a mile.
Wow.
But on that note, Dorinda fired. I'm devastated.
Fired? Why fired?
Apparently, she was just getting too mean. She was drinking and she would just get too mean.
Oh, please. Too mean?
Yeah.
What, was she assaulting people? Like, how?
I don't
know. What do we mean by too mean? Because I remember Kelly in Orange County being like, this is why your kid doesn't speak to you.
I think part of what it is that I saw reports. Some people were like, she walked away on her own accord, and then some people were reporting that she was fired. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks that I bet it was probably like a combination of both, where they talked to her and she was probably like, she said in the reunion, she said that she shouldn't have continued. She should have not done this past season because she was going through a lot. Oh. And you could see it. She was struggling.
Wow, I do love me Dorinda.
I love Dorinda.
Yeah.
Love her. I don't care what mistakes she makes or what she does.
She's hilarious.
I will always forgive her. And she's cozy too. She loves hard.
She's a warm mess, you know?
Yes. She's hot.
I like that. A warm mess.
I know. I like that too. It's like, just like, you know, you're a mess, but you also will, you'll yell at me, but then you'll embrace me. And I know that hug is real. That's a truly warm hug. You know, if you meet Dorinda in person, she's super nice. And you know, Ramona's just the devil.
Which I love.
Of course. Of course. We need it. But then another housewife was fired. Beverly Hills. Teddy. Fired.
Fired?
Fired.
Mm-hmm. Why?
So, okay.
I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna watch this past season of New York.
I'm begging you to.
I will.
But also, this past season of Beverly Hills is wild.
Is it over yet?
It's all done.
Okay.
You can watch the whole thing. Okay. The past season.
Which one, if I had to pick one, which should I pick?
Okay, I would say this. I enjoyed The Real Housewives of New York more because I just like the cast better. But The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there is...
like hot tea.
Like wild hot tea.
Yeah.
And it takes over the entire season.
Mm,
and you can't even believe that. It. And of course, Brandy Glanville is the reason for all of it because she comes back.
Oh.
And she drops bombs.
Oh.
Yes. Craziness.
Now I don't know what to pick. Which one do you think I will enjoy more and get the most out of?
You'll enjoy Real Housewives in New York more.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what my instinct was telling me.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with Sonia and, you know, Ramona and now Leah. She's a perfect add-on. Luann's wonderful this season.
Fuck Luann. I hate her so much.
I loved her this season.
Oh,
she's okay. Really, she's making huge strides, you know, with her recovery and everything. And you could tell there's a huge difference.
Because like Luann made me want to vote for Donald Trump because I hate Luann so much. Wait. This is a few seasons ago.
Wait, why is that connected?
Wait, no, not Luann. I'm sorry, not Luann. I'm thinking of the other one. The ex-journalist who has to let everyone know she's an ex-journalist. Oh,
yeah, no, I don't care for her either.
See, I haven't watched in seasons now. I'm getting everyone's name mixed up.
Luann's the Countess.
Yes, and now when you said, like, what? And then I was like, wait, the Countess.
No, I forget.
My bad. No, I love Luann.
Luann is everything.
I actually watched, like, a Real Housewife episode years ago where it went through her whole, like, backstory from childhood. And, like, I was really... just fascinated with her. It was her life.
She is, you know, probation is officially done in this episode, in this season. And you see her like really make huge strides. And she just has a wonderful season.
Yeah, she's someone who I was like always kind of rooting for because she's like that friend that always gets in the bad relationships and you just want to see her happy.
Yeah.
Wait, who's the one that I was talking about that I hate?
She was friends with Bethany for a while.
Had the young boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm blanking on her name. Caroline.
Carolyn.
Carolyn. Carolyn.
Carol.
Carol. Caroline? Carol. Carol. It's Carol.
Yeah, it's Carol.
It's definitely Carol.
Carol drove me nuts.
I wasn't a fan of Carol either. Now, do I think her style is bomb and do I think her apartment was dope? Yes. But I wasn't a huge fan. I just felt like she just didn't fit. She was like too, like she was like, I'm
she's
too cool.
Annoying.
She felt like I'm too cool for this group of women and I won't be petty. And I'm like, bitch, we want to see petty.
Right. Cause it was like, she wouldn't be petty, but then she would always talk down to everyone too. Like basically about how stupid they are and stuff. And that it was just, yeah. She's like, I used to be a journalist. Like, well, you're not anymore, sweetie. So stop.
You're a Real Housewife now. Okay.
And her young boyfriend, or she's like, no, like it was a mutual breakup. And I'm like,
I mean, if we're being journalists here, we have to keep the facts straight.
Okay.
But
I should not talk about what I do not know. And I am not familiar with The Real Housewives anymore.
Well, I am because that's, you know, that's just part of my legacy now.
Wait, so sorry about Beverly Hills.
So Beverly Hills, Teddy is fired now. She went on her Instagram and did a video and said, some of you might have heard rumors. I have been fired. It was not by choice. I hold no like vendetta, whatever. And they haven't answered as to why. Now, here's the thing.
What?
I think personally it's because she's a little bit of a snooze fest. You know?
So I stopped watching right when she first joined. Like I watched the first couple episodes of that season when she joined, when everyone still seemed to kind of like her.
Yeah. Teddy's my least favorite, was my least favorite on the show. She definitely stirred up drama all the time, but she was also like not It was weird
because like her life wasn't interesting, maybe. Like,
I think that's probably what it was. But what happened was a few, like maybe a week before her firing was announced, you know, she has, I don't know if you know this, but she has a, she has this like company where she basically like is your accountability coach. Like that's what she does. She's an accountability coach for women who want to like eat better and, you know, work out more and be this accountability coach. Stuff started to get leaked where people were like showing screenshots of her text conversations with them where she was encouraging unhealthy low amount of calories.
She's like, yeah, just starve yourself for the next few days. You'll drop pounds.
It was legit like that. And and in some of these messages that were revealed, the client was like, hey, can you stop act like talking to me like this? I can't do this anymore. I'm uncomfortable. And she would then just kind of be like, you know, best of luck. I just know that you can obtain these goals and whatever. And it was very uncomfortable to read. Where you're like, this does not seem healthy. And so a lot of that started to get leaked. And, you know, in the show, she's opened up about struggling with eating disorders in the past. And so then this
maybe you shouldn't be coaching people.
Right. And then this being in this being connected and all this stuff kind of coming out, it was like, ooh. And then a couple of days later, she was fired. And I don't know if I mean, they say it's not connected at all.
I'm sure it's not because we have, you know, Bethany's skinny girl, whatever, over in New York.
Very like, true. Very true.
Who goes around pointing fingers, calling people anorexic.
That's very true. It's not like Bravo is all about like inclusive sizes and body everything. Positivity. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
Bethany over here, I fit in my daughter's pajamas.
Oh God, I remember that. That was real bad. But anyways, they're fired, so that's unfortunate. I'm very upset about Dorinda. I feel like Teddy, it was time, and they have
Dorinda's just I have a special place in my heart for her. Is Orange County still going on?
Oh, it's gonna start airing soon.
Okay, maybe I'll just like hop on that train because I've always loved Orange County.
I'm pretty sure though this season Orange County it doesn't include Vicky and it doesn't include Tamara.
What?
And I'm like, that's
not at all.
I mean,
they were my bread and butter of that show.
Granted, Vicky last season was quote unquote not on the cast list because she left, but she was on almost every single episode.
She's still in the middle of
and
the
And then she was on the reunion and that's she was hilarious. Screaming at Andy, like, I made the show.
Talk about screaming high on her own supply. This is what I'm talking about. Like, Trump is Vicky. Is Vicky is us. Like, we are.
Can you
all
imagine if Vicky was his running mate?
It would make complete sense. Although I'm kind of obsessed with Vicky in like a weird hate her way.
Yes.
I think everyone, that's why she did make the show.
Oh, for sure. I posted the other day and you and I were DMing. Evan has now started to watch The Real Housewives of Orange County and he is obsessed with Vicky Gunvalson.
Make America whoop it up.
You know she's getting, you know she has shirts that are bejeweled that say that.
Probably.
100%.
And a hat that says Make America Whoop Again.
Make America.
Yeah, I love that Evan's obsessed with her. Of course he is.
He's obsessed with her. And I'm just like, Evan.
I was weirdly obsessed with Tamara too. I don't know why.
Tamara was so season to season for me. Sometimes I felt like she was so like the worst. And then the next season I'd be like, you know what? I really see Tamara. And like, she's really like, she's changing, but she's also so fun and she's so whatever. And then it was every season I had a different opinion. Same thing with Shannon Bedore for me. Shannon sometimes was like my least favorite of all the housewives ever. And then the next season I'd be like, Shannon, well, she's back.
I have Shannon's number in my phone.
Oh yeah, because you met them, huh?
Yes.
Can we FaceTime her right now?
She's going to be like, she won't remember me. She was drunk as shit when she gave me her number. And was like, we've got it. I've got to take you to the quiet woman. Straight up.
If you don't at some point use that, also why aren't you texting her to try to get on the show?
You know, we've talked about this the other day. I am really not good with this kind of thing, you know.
Oh, you trying to what's the word? Like promote yourself.
Promote myself, yes. Connect with people who I admire.
Yeah, you're surprisingly, that's not, I mean, and I'm like, I will put it all out there, honey.
I know, you're way better at it than I am.
But I also don't have, you know, I wasn't on television. I also don't have the numbers that you have. So I understand that
that
would
be. What are you talking about? That would make it even, supposedly even better.
Well, if they reject me, I can be like, wow, you're really rude. Like, look at poor me. I'm just this, yeah. Like, come on, like, how dare you ignore, you know, and kind of make people feel bad. But I don't know. I feel like there's a different pressure. But if you would like.
No, you're still way better than I am.
If you would like to give me Shannon's number, I will pretend I am you. And I will be like, hey.
Or pretend I'm your assistant. You're my assistant.
Yes. And be like, hey, are we going to have our date at the Quiet Woman at some point, you know, once this pandy is lifted? And. And
what is plandemic? Because you know Shannon's like all about that, probably.
Well, no, she got COVID. Her and her whole family got COVID.
Shit, never mind. She probably does not think it's the plandemic anymore. She does not think it's
because they all got sick. They're all fine now. They're all fine. But the whole crew, all were out.
Is she back? She's not back with her husband.
No, in fact, I think she's either engaged. It's either she's in a serious relationship or engaged to a gentleman who also has many children. And they've like formed this kind of Brady Bunch situation. She seems very happy.
Wow, happy yeah, for her.
So beautiful.
She's very on nice. This season that's about to come out?
Yes.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it for that.
And then you can reach out and be like, hey, let's do that Quiet Woman date. Yes. And then you'd be like, also, maybe one of the producers should come. Love and then that. Just start saying some outrageous shit.
Yeah, and maybe also I'll just be like, you know, my partner who owns one of the largest climbing gyms in south of LA.
You're technically in an area where you could be considered for Real Housewives of Orange County. And also...
Definitely not with our net worth as a couple.
Well, but Gina came in. Do you know Gina at all?
I know Gina what came she looks
in,
like.
In no.
She's it a broke bitch?
She wasn't a broke bitch, but she was just, I think, like a typical Orange County, like, which also, by the way, is like, it's a lot of money typically, but it wasn't like she, I feel like also Real Housewives of Orange County is nothing like Real Housewives of New York
or Beverly Hills. That's so
or
true.
Or Potomac. Like some of these places, like well, a lot like, of them have a lot of money and Real Housewives, I mean, they're wealthy. Don't
they're
get me
all
wrong,
about the, but. Well, but not even necessarily. Like some of them are like all about the appearances. Like Gretchen like got her house foreclosed on and like lived in an apartment and
that's
stuff
true.
Like that. And was even going to get evicted from the apartment. Like
Gina.
It's all about appearances, you
that's
know?
That's true. So, you know.
I'm sure I could pretend to ball out.
We'll rent you a really expensive
car.
Yeah,
I was going to say, all I have to do is like lease a Maserati.
Yeah, lease a Maserati and only show up ever. Like, don't, you know, just do the Maserati life. And then I think you show up to the Quiet Woman in just like a mesh top, no bra, or maybe just a bra, bring both the kids and breastfeed them simultaneously while talking to Shannon. I feel like she'd be horrified by public breastfeeding. The producers
maybe not,
live
but she
it.
Like pretends to be all holistic and everything.
That's true. But like, let
I'll be like, Shannon, I swear this is the big thing. Let me squirt some in your coffee right now off like creamer. It will give you all the antioxidants, all the, you know, the properties.
I think that this is a good call. The producers will live for it. You're going to be, they don't have anyone like that on Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah, I'll be like, COVID vaccine, try some breast milk. Oh my God.
Put this eye infection, but you know, with the no shaving, they'll be
horrified
of it. Vicky will be like, that's disgusting. Jesus wants women to shave.
They'll be talking about me. They'll be like, she's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's prettier than literally all of us old hags, but I mean, they wouldn't say that. I would say that. I'd be like, well, yeah, course. They just want to talk shit on my hairy legs because I'm prettier than all of them.
Sorry, I look God, like I this. You'd be so great at it.
It would ruin my life.
It does destroy every single marriage and relationship. The kids don't talk to the moms anymore.
Except for what's her name?
Heather.
Well, Heather. She also left the show. Yeah. No, but brown hair. I don't know. I can't think of her name. Beverly Hills. The daughters who she thinks are Gigi and Bella.
Lisa Rinna. But Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin had an unbreakable bond that no one will ever understand before the show ever aired. And, that has to be taken into consideration. Also, Kyle and Mauricio were so in love beforehand anyways. Like, all this is doing is bringing in more money for the love that they have already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's bringing them closer together because they can, like, commiserate about all the other housewives that they can't stand.
Mm.
But I think if you're on the rocks at all in a relationship... not a, probably a solid choice if you want to keep your marriage afloat or if you want the kids to talk to you.
You know what would be great too? We Gray and I could go in and say that we're non-monogamous, and so then he'll be like flirting with people, but we won't say that, and then people will be like, we saw your husband making out with someone. I'll be like, oh, yes, that's, I told him that was fine, and then everyone would,
yeah,
that would, they would lose their minds,
you know. Okay, check this one out.
What?
Real Housewives of Potomac slept on.
I've heard that from so many
slept
people.
Slept on.
I've heard that from
maybe so one many of people. Maybe the best.
I, yeah,
because the Real Housewives of Potomac actually allow you to see their lives. Like, it's,
oh,
you, they air, they talk about it all. It's like the problems in the marriage, the tax issue, like they put it all out there. And one of the girls recently had a situation where her husband was spotted, like, I don't know if it was a sex worker, or if it was, I think it was a sex worker that took a photo of him from behind and posted it while she was on a girl's trip.
Shady.
Shady. And it got out and everyone was like freaking out, and she basically had to come, and he didn't have, I think, in that situation, permission or communication in their relationship to be doing that. But she basically came out and told the housewives, like, listen, I need to be honest about our relationship. You know, there were years where we were non-monogamous and I've been with women and whatever. And the housewives were shook.
I love that.
And she was, and she let the producers come and film at her and her husband's dinner when she confronted him about the whole thing. Like, it was, I mean, we were talking behind the scenes. They let it all out there. Wild.
Wow.
Definitely Potomac is slept on. Fantastic. Some of my favorite cast members are in Potomac too. Wow. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Speaking of which, another book, since everyone's been buying The Fourth Turning. Thank you.
Yes, which we need to get the author on.
Yeah, we definitely should. Yeah. Oh, also, you know what I was thinking? I'm just going to let this, you know, we're going to have a dialogue with the broads. I was thinking, so, you know, Alex, who we had on to talk about autism, he is really, really big and has done a lot of research on doomsday prepping. And I was thinking, should we have him on to do like how to do your getaway bag? Like, he would love to do it.
No questions
I know he
asked.
Would.
No questions asked.
Okay, great. I'll contact him then and
that
get
would
him
be
on to do
fantastic.
Like a doomsday prepping episode.
We would, I would like to ideally have it before November. If that
great.
Okay, perfect. Done. Thank you. In the next couple of weeks, as soon as possible tonight.
Yeah, he's like, he has like a plot of land out in the desert and everything. Like, yeah, no, he's like an expert.
I would love to have him on. He's so wonderful too.
I love Alex.
He's so fun to talk to.
Yeah, and he'll love it too, because he's been having like, you know, been feeling very lonely with the pandemic and stuff. So
oh my
we'll
God.
Have him call
Let's
in.
Have him on. He would be, yeah, he's, I feel like he's going to give us all the thing. Because I only know so much.
I know.
You know, I do what I can with my little earthquake
and
kits.
Conflicting you know, about like what you should.
Yeah, I trust Alex with my doomsday life.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
Also, oh yeah, what I was going to say, what that reminded me of, I'm reading this book called Opening Up about non-monogamy, and I want to say, broads, I want to have another episode on with maybe the author of this book or someone else, like an expert on non-monogamy, because it is fascinating. Even if you're not interested in non-monogamy, it breaks down all the different types of like non-monogamous relationship setups. Because, you know, when we had Kevin Patterson on, the author of Love Is Not Colorblind, he was talking specifically about him and his wife's relationship, which is relationship anarchy, which basically like you can have any kind of relationship with anyone.
Right.
Everything's sort of fluid. But this book breaks down all types of different orientations, where some people, like, they'll have a partner where they only, like, do BDSM activities, or, like, people will have a primary partner where the partner is gay and they don't actually even have a sexual relationship. And that person is allowed to have, like, sexual relationships, but not romantic relationships outside of their partnership. And, like,
it's called opening up.
Yeah. And it breaks down, like, every single type of relationship, how to create, like, contracts and, like, negotiate. Yeah. How to deal with jealousy.
I think that would be great. I know that a lot of the broads really, really liked both the episode with Kevin and also with Taylor talking about non-monogamy.
Yeah.
And I think too, it's just something that, you know, so for so many, especially I think for so many of our listeners being raised, a lot of our listeners raised in a Christian home. And so that wasn't mm-hmm. even a conversation. So it's so cool to learn about all of this.
Yeah.
And also, again, and I can't say it enough, even if you're not ever considering being in a non-monogamous relationship, I feel like you can learn so much about yeah. communication. And it's yeah. really beautiful.
And dealing with jealousy, like I was just reading that chapter right now, and it's just really helped me to break down stuff with Gray's relationship with his friends, Gray yeah. talking about like exes. And I've almost been like doing exercises to like open up my, to try to like open up letting go of feelings of like jealousy and resentment and all these different things. So I'm literally like, oh, like, why don't you tell me about this ex and like what was having sex with her like? And then like trying to just like release wow. it and process through the feelings that I'm having, get to the root of like, why does this make me feel this way? Like, is it a fear of abandonment? Is it feeling like that. Left out because I want to do those things with mm-hmm. him? And it's been really good.
That's really cool, B.
Thanks. And it's broadened my, you know, like I'm much more open-minded now to what other people do with their sex lives. Right. Where I used to be super like judgy before.
It's the sex life is just one of those things where it's like, listen, if it's not yours, you don't got a say in it, honey.
Yeah. And also this book breaks down how it's so much more for some people than like sex stuff too. Yeah, like some people are even allowed to just like have, some people have agreements where they can have romantic relationships with other people without sex.
Okay.
So like yeah, yeah. dates and cuddling and, you know, like trips, but just like they have rules about like, yeah, it's just all different types of people.
I would love to have that offer.
Closed couple relationships where there's two couples who have an exclusive relationship with the other couple.
Okay. Oh God, you know what? I gotta remember. I need to research this mm-hmm. because there was a docuseries that I watched a while ago about certain forms of non-monogamous relationships. And it was so interesting. It would be a fun broad homework because it was like reality TV, not reality, but it was docuseries. So you followed along with yeah. certain couples and different, you know, different types of parties that they went to because, you know, some of them were in more of like a swinging lifestyle yeah. and like some people were, you know, in like a throuple relationship. Uh-huh. Speaking of, oh my goodness, reality TV, RuPaul, it just ended, had a very short series that came out called RuPaul Vegas Review. And a bunch of the drag queens went out to Vegas to start like a show. And uh-huh. they were going to be, you know, there for what, like a year residency or whatever. And so they started this reality TV show at the top, them coming from LA and moving into Vegas, the like, you know, the process of practice and all that shit. Well, they were only able to film five episodes before the pandemic hit.
Oh my God.
And so then they had to wrap it up. So it was literally like a six episode. It's so good. It's so fun to binge if you love RuPaul. But one of the drag queens, actually, you saw behind the scenes is in a throuple relationship, and you saw him and both of his husbands, and it was actually really cool because I feel like, you know, obviously RuPaul's Drag Race attempts to be very like inclusive mm-hmm. and do, but we haven't seen that, and because you haven't seen a lot of behind the scenes, but that hasn't even really been talked about. Non-monogamy hasn't been talked about too much on the show, so it was really cool then to see. And then they did a reunion show, since the pandemic. And he talks about how like, it's actually really helped their relationship to be all three of them together instead of kind wow. of like, yeah, it was really cool.
Huh?
Anywho, so just a side reality TV note for you, but I'd be so down.
Love it.
So down.
Love it. Yeah. It's been, definitely fascinating to explore. I also realized that like my relationship style is I want my partners to be monogamous, but I want to have three boyfriends.
Yes, I understand that.
And I've said that for a long time and I still stand by
it. I stand by what I believe. Okay.
Well, when I think through my exes, I'm like, oh, each person offered something different to me, like in something that I needed that I don't think one person can encompass all of those things.
Do you know, I think the beauty of this 2020 situation is that it's really made relationships much more clear right now. It's like, okay, you're stuck with someone for a long time. And if you're stuck with them and happy, it feels good. But also you're realizing, oh, I'm stuck with this person. And there are these needs that I have that aren't met. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like you're seeing so many breakups and divorces, but also people.
Sad for them.
But also people renegotiating, you know, their own relationships. I feel like I have a lot of friends who are kind of in that process where it's like, okay, I'm realizing that this part of our relationship isn't good or where I think that we both think that it needs to be. So what's that going to look like?
Yeah, even like little things we've had to figure out how to like combine calendars and like schedule out time together. Mm-hmm. Just like little, yeah, it's so true. Little stuff like that. We're like, we need to tweak this because this isn't working.
It's true. Yeah. You know, the silver linings, the silver linings of things.
Yeah.
A few more pop culture business. We have Gigi gave birth.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj gave birth.
Yes.
Didn't know about this. Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara gave birth. Who is this magic couple that I was unaware of?
Dude, Rooney Mara is so hot.
And Joaquin Phoenix is just legend. Rooney Mara and Joaquin Phoenix just had a baby. And check this out. They just announced that the baby's name is River. And they named it after Joaquin's brother, River Phoenix, who died, you know, which was so beautiful. And they were posting photos of Joaquin with River when they were young.
Wow, I just saw that on her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so special.
Isn't that so special?
Wow, yeah, wait, what? Since when did they have... When were they even together?
I had no idea, and I can't believe I wasn't informed about this relationship because I'm obsessed with both of them, and I did not know...
Yeah, I love
and
that.
And they are the couple
sexy.
That I... Yeah, they are the couple that I...
Want to have a bonded relationship with you and Evan.
That couple. I'm just like, hello. Oh my God, yeah.
When does Katy Perry have her baby?
You know what's funny is I didn't know about any of these people being pregnant. And I feel like Katy Perry's been pregnant for forever.
She had one. She had in August.
Oh, really?
Wow, I missed out on that.
I missed that too. My goodness. Yeah, 'tis the season. But yeah, I didn't Orlando Bloom, Katy Perry baby. My goodness. Just.
Yeah. Do you like her?
Katy, me and Kate, I go in and out.
Yeah,
I go in and out.
I feel that.
I like pre-American Idol Katy Perry. I like Teenage Dream Katy Perry. I'm not so much of a fan.
Why does her bio say light worker? Seems like she has a high view of herself to say that.
Well, she is very famous.
That's true, but light worker?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll say this. I was a huge fan, and then I felt not so much that way anymore. And then I watched her documentary, and it made me like her more again. And then I kind of, I don't know. The post American Idol thing for me, it's just not the It doesn't hit right. Doesn't slap for me.
No. I feel that. She was extremely annoying on American Idol. My parents loved her on American Idol.
I think a lot of people did.
My parents are like, my dad was like, I think she's funny. And I was like, ew, who are you?
I think a lot of like middle-aged older men got the hots for Katy Perry during American Idol because
so
I feel
weird.
Like my dad, Evan's dad, I've heard on podcasts and they're just like, oh yeah. And I hadn't heard them talk about Katy Perry before.
So weird.
And I'm like, oh God. I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
Well, but it's weird because it's like she has the short blonde hair, which in my opinion isn't my favorite look for her.
Oh, the short. Well, she doesn't have that anymore though, right? Now it's longer. Yeah. Or she's just wearing wigs all the time.
Just like the yellow bleach blonde was not my favorite on her.
I love the classic pinup Katy
the
Perry.
The brown
hair,
like, yeah.
Oh, the pinup Katy Perry.
Yes, that was my favorite too.
Wow. Magic.
I mean, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like kind of weird that, like you're saying, all these like older guys are super into that look. I'm just a little surprised.
You know, I think sometimes the older guys like a little bit of that alt. I will tell you this. Don't get hit on. I do not get hit on by men my age or younger men.
Interesting.
But when I go to Orange County and I go to one of them dad bars where like all the guys there are like 50 plus, I will get swarmed and they think, I think they're like, you have two. It's like, you know that scene in The Office where Michael Scott thinks he maybe is high because he went to that concert and he's like, she can't be that cigarette. She had a nose ring. That's, I feel like, how I am sometimes in these bars.
They're like, maybe one day they like have dreams of doing Molly with you.
Yes, I think someday. They think like that I'm like some goth alt bitch and that I'm going to, you know, do some like some tricky stuff in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't look like
that. Maybe you're like a dominatrix type.
I think
chick.
It's like the Orange County. I don't have the Orange County housewife look so much. So I think that they think often that I'm going to like, you know, really mix it up with them in the bedroom.
Do you think you would enjoy doing that work? Do you think you would enjoy being a dominatrix?
You think that I... Yeah, I think maybe.
I know I would love it.
Yeah.
None of my boyfriends have ever been into it.
Me either.
What the heck?
I've tried. Don't get me wrong.
I know. I would love...
Trust and believe my closet. We have some fun straps and chains and stuff. And, you know, Evan does... You know, Evan does as much as he's comfortable with, and God bless him for it. He's very, very wonderful and giving in the bedroom, mm-hmm. but that's just definitely some... I haven't been able to go there.
I know.
And I'd like to.
I know. Yeah. I would too. I think I would like doing it as a job.
Yes.
Like, I think I would enjoy people giving me money for me.
I like
torturing
money.
Them. I think I would enjoy that, is all I'm saying. Particularly wealthy men.
Yes.
I would love doing terrible things to them.
Sure. I get that. I definitely get that. And I definitely will say when I am in these Orange County circumstances and all of a sudden this like, you know, this white, almost 60-year-old guy comes up to me and, you know, says something too forward mm-hmm. and it's just not appropriate.
You're like, I would love to step on your throat in stilettos.
I'd like to destroy his life. And I definitely then
kick
get
him
the rush.
In the balls.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That would be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he probably would like it too much.
Hmm.
You know? Mm. I don't know if that would take then.
No, that would be fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe not for someone you hate, but like, I think it would be so much fun for someone to get pleasure out of you torturing them.
Mm. I do hate most men. Just kidding.
Psych.
There's a demo that I don't like. But
so
yeah, so there's that. Also the Savage times Fenty fashion show. Did you observe?
Heard about it on Instagram.
Fantastic. I mean, is Rihanna a gift that is she an angel from heaven? Because I think what has been missing in 2020 is Rihanna. I need a new album. I feel like maybe that would fix things. Mm. But Rihanna comes in and...
Oh, wait. Yeah, because Erica Jane was a part of it. Big part of
she
it.
She was? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, Rihanna had some serious representation and inclusion in this fashion show. It was incredible. But I miss her so much.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me about Savage Fenty, which I had advertised before, is it's super cheap, like made in China fast fashion shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know.
So
it's like, I love the representation and everything.
Yeah.
But then it's unethically, you know, unethically, environmentally unfriendly products. So I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know. That bugs me. But I heard great things about it. Yeah, so Savage Fenty Show Volume 2 landed on Amazon Prime, and Erica Jane's like a big part of it.
I mean, you know, I love Erica. Yeah,
but I've heard nothing but good things.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, and you know, especially the fact that I think it aired like 2 days after the disaster of the debate that we saw. I was like, ugh. Ah, yes, this I can ingest in America. And you know what? It gave me a moment in my deep, dark spiral recently that I'm like, here we are, right? Mm. Like, you know, it's a colossal mess right now and there's a lot of shit. But at the same time, too, like, here's this fashion show that is so inclusive.
And it's the new Victoria's Secret show, you know, where it's like, it's not all bitches that look the same.
Victoria's Secret is out and this is in, and this is like, and it just seeing the inclusion,
trans inclusive, fat inclusive, like yes. all these different, yeah, like yes. representation of all different people,
all different people of color. I mean, it was so cool that it, you know, you're just like, it gave you, it was like this big, deep sigh of hope where you're like, okay, in the midst of everything looks seeming like it's burning and just getting terrible, we have Rihanna.
Very cool.
And we worship at the altar. I always do. I truly always do. One more little moment.
Sure.
Why not? Okay, last little moment. And this is not something that's officially happening, but I'm just putting this out there into the universe, okay? Mm-hmm. Because this is what we need for our October, Becca.
Okay.
I saw people posting the suggestion. Obviously, it's spooky season now. Hocus Pocus, a fave of so many, right? Cult fave.
Wasn't allowed to watch it.
Wasn't either. So I watched it as an older person. And I think I loved it even more because I was like, I am not allowed to watch this. Let me just... people are throwing around the idea of, why is there not a remake of Hocus Pocus with Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, and Melissa McCarthy?
That sounds great. How did they select those names? I mean, I'm into it, but...
Because it's legit, like, they would be perfect, even, like physically, for all the characters.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Fantastic. And I am not into...
Wow!
I am not a remake person normally, but those three women are so fucking funny. And Hocus Pocus has now been around, you know, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute. If done right...
What a great idea.
Right?
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
It's the energy we need right now.
I'm really into that.
We need that remake. Anywho, that's just something to put into the universe. I am going to secret the shit out of that. I am going to manifest all the energy towards a Hocus Pocus remake with
Start
those three.
Start casting your spells.
With those, I'm going to cast my spells with those three powerhouses. But yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for chatting with us, Brods. Thanks for... letting me have a little bit of a emotional breakdown at the
Thanks
top.
For me being a little, I don't know what I was on today, but no fucks given October 2020.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to
vote for Joe Biden.
With the devil.
That's my endorsement.
And like we said, Broads, in the episode notes, we've got all the voting registry check to make sure you're registered to vote. And tune in Thursday. We have a fun episode with two other moms from a YouTube channel and podcast called I Mom So Hard. We're going to have some really honest, funny, weird, wild mom conversations. And then, remember, we'll put a reminder on Instagram. But next Tuesday, we will not have an episode that comes out because the recap of the first episode of The Bachelorette will be coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Dabbing it out.
Also, Broads. If you enjoy this episode, enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed past episodes, it would mean so much if you stop what you're doing, take the literal 5 seconds it'll take to go tap 5 stars on the Apple Podcasts app.
Yes, we would appreciate that. 5 stars for The Bachelorette, baby.
Please.
Please.
Smash that 5 stars. Smash that motherfucking 5 stars.
We love you, Brads. Chat soon.
Chat soon.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.